Well, good morning, everybody. So I have personally been on a little bit of a physical fitness journey, if you will, over the last year or so. Now, granted, I've always been in relatively decent shape. I've always been fairly active. So my journey, if you will, hasn't been really comparable to what I know some of you have undertaken, and kudos to you for doing that. You've done a great job. But it has been a journey for me nonetheless. I'm eating differently. I've lost some weight. I started running again recently, which is something I really hadn't done consistently since I was playing soccer as a teenager. In fact, my friend Keith challenged me to do a half marathon with him, and I accepted that challenge. Now, it remains to be seen when or where exactly we will do that, but we are going to do it, I believe. Keith says yes. So, I've been training, and I run throughout the week, but Saturdays are my big run days. And I can tell you that yesterday morning, I ran more miles in a single chunk of time than I have ever run in my entire life. And I'm going to need to do that. I'm going to need to keep doing that, do more of that, run longer and run harder if I'm going to be in shape for this half marathon that we're going to eventually do. You know what's interesting, though? Is that just a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, I remember reaching about the 3 or 4 mile mark on my treadmill and thinking, oh, I just can't. I'm done. This is as far as I can go. I had to stop there. And yesterday, I hit the 12-mile mark on my treadmill, and again, I hit that point of saying, oh, I just can't. I'm done. That's all I can do. But, you know, I got there, and I felt okay. It was doable. So what I'm learning in this, what's been a process for me, and what I think anyone who's ever made some progress in getting physically fit would tell you, is that fitness isn't a switch that you can just throw one day and suddenly you're fit. There is no magic pill. There's no secret formula that you can take to suddenly be physically fit. There's no diet change, there's no exercise, there's no inspirational video that can take you suddenly from flab to fab in a day or a week or whatever. It's not going to happen. But see, here's the thing, and this will all tie in together, believe me. I reached a point of saying, I just can't. I can't go any further. And I wasn't wrong about that. I was right. I had reached the end of myself a couple of months ago, and I didn't have the strength to go any further. But you know what? That was okay. That was all right. I accepted at that moment that that's where I was. I was at peace with being at that point, but I didn't stay there. I came back a couple days later, the next time I ran, whenever that was, and I tried to run a little further. And I kept pushing, and I kept working. And as I've continued to work, my place of saying, I just can't, hasn't gone away. But it's moved a good bit further down the road. It's a lot further down the road than it used to be. So last week, Scott launched us out on this Get Fit sermon series. And he did a great job of just showing us what we can do in very practical terms to get spiritually fit. And to stay spiritually fit. Today, I want us to consider what it means for us to be emotionally fit. And what God has in mind for us with regard to our emotional fitness. Now, you know, and I know, and God knows, that this is a big, big problem for a lot of people. Now, physical fitness, sure, that's important, whatever. That's not what this sermon series is about. Spiritual fitness, absolutely, that's very important. That is a big part of what this sermon series is about. But, you know, there are people who are either physically fit or they're spiritually fit or even they're both who still struggle with anxiety, with fear, with a deficit in emotional fitness. And I'm going to shoot as straight as I can with you this morning. This is a subject that, honestly, I struggle with thinking of how I can say anything to you that's significant in a 20 or 30 minute time frame. This subject is a landmine. there are so many people in this room right now, and all of us could say this to some extent. We could say that emotional stability, peace, health, balance, health in our emotions has been a hard thing to come by. And you know what? If there was a magic pill, if there was a secret formula that would make you suddenly emotionally fit, you would have found it already. You've looked. I know. I'm not offering you that this morning. I don't have it to offer. And you know, we read a passage like Philippians 4:4 through 9 that Lynn read just a minute ago. In fact, I want to read that again now for the benefit of anybody who might be watching this later or listening to the sermon later online. Philippians 4:4 to 9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And you read that passage, and you might be tempted to say, well, there it is. There's your silver bullet. There's your magic pill. God is promising a peace that will be with us. If only we could bring everything to Him in prayer, if only we could dwell in our minds on those things that are pure and lovely and all those things, then the God of peace will be with us. And it sounds so simple. But where the rubber meets the road, and where our lives intersect with this passage, I really don't think that it is as simple as it sounds. Does God offer peace? Yes. It's right there in black and white. Of course He does. Does God give us a framework for how we can and how we should be training our minds? Yes, He does. And it's good stuff. This is all good. It's good stuff. So if you find yourself this morning dealing with a deficit in emotional fitness, does that mean that these promises aren't for you? Does that mean that God has left you behind at some point? That you've missed the mark when it comes to what God is asking you to do, perhaps? And you know, I'm not standing here this morning, please, I am not standing here this morning as an authority of any kind on emotional health and fitness. I'm not. But this much I know. And this is true, I believe, no matter where you find yourself on the whole spectrum of emotional health. When you find yourself facing life and walking through life, there has probably been a point at some time when you have reached that place of saying, I just can't, and you're done. And you haven't felt very emotionally fit. And you've reached the place where you said, that's it. Your fitness has found its limit. And I want to tell you this morning, that's okay. It's okay. Just like me and my treadmill, your emotional fitness isn't something, it's a journey. And part of moving past that point of saying, I just can't, and turning that point into a point of, I can, is coming to a certain place of peace with being where you are and accepting the reality of where you are so that you can move on from there. There's in some ways this parallel between physical fitness and emotional fitness. It's not realistic to think that you're going to get either physically or emotionally fit overnight. That it's just going to happen at the flip of a switch. Nor can you expect to stay there by doing nothing. Fitness is more, it's not so much a destination as it is as a journey. It's a journey and a lifestyle. So look, does God have emotional fitness in mind for you? Does God want you to be emotionally fit? Yes, He does. That's clear. But if you're not there yet, does that mean that you're an inferior Christian? Or that you've missed the mark somewhere? That God's promises aren't for you? No. God doesn't expect you to become emotionally fit overnight. But as I read the scriptures, and there's so much scripture that talks about this subject, we're going to get into some of that later. As I read through the scriptures, I can't avoid the fact it becomes clear to me that God does want me to be on that journey. He wants me to be living a lifestyle of emotional fitness. And as I stand here today, and as you sit here today, we may not be all that we could be. And we may not be all that we should be. We may not be all that we will be. But God would have us to be on the journey, on the road. Like I said, this subject could be a landmine. And what I don't want to do this morning is to have any one of you feel like I'm picking on you, like I'm berating you because of emotional or anxiety issues that you're dealing with in your life. I mean, I'm standing up here and you're hearing me saying, well, you should be emotionally fit. And you're thinking, well, then why? What did I do wrong? Where did I miss the mark? Because I'm not there. How am I sinning? Why has God left me behind? And you know, as humans, in this fallen world that we live in, there are a lot of things that we could beat ourselves up over. If we allowed ourselves to think about all the things that are wrong, all the things that aren't exactly the way that God would intend for them to be in a perfect world, which this is not, and we took all those things and we blamed them on ourselves, and we internalized themselves, and we said that we're to blame for them. For instance, I don't believe that God is the God of sickness. God is not the God of cancer. God is the God of healing and of health. But you know, godly people still get cancer. And I don't always understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. God gives grace when grace is needed. You know, I believe that God is the God of hope and of healing and of restoration. But we know, some of us know far too well, that God does not always restore and heal in the way that we would have hoped or in the way that we've asked. So listen to me this morning. The fact that you're dealing with emotional or with anxiety issues doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you an inferior Christian any more than failing to receive healing when you have a physical ailment makes you a bad person or an inferior Christian. No, we deal with these things in the world that are not God's ideal, but they're part of the fallen world that we have to walk through. They're things we deal with, they're things we walk through. And if you have a deficit of emotional fitness, you're dealing with anxiety issues, you have value, and you are loved, and you are an important part of God's plans for His church. And if this morning you hear words that contradict that idea coming out of my mouth, I beg your forgiveness, because that is not my intention, and that is the heart of what I want to say this morning. So having laid that foundation, stick with me now, because I want to turn the corner a little bit, and I want to say that when we are physically sick, when we have a physical sickness that comes against our bodies, we have a disease, we accept and we believe that that disease is not from God. God is not the God of sickness. He's the God of healing, and we claim that healing in Jesus' name. Amen? And we stand against that sickness, and we fight that sickness, and we claim healing in Jesus' name. And in the meanwhile, we do everything that is our responsibility to do. We take care of what we're responsible to do. We do what we can. We pursue a cure. We seek treatment. We try to make sure we're doing what is in our power to do, what God has given us responsibility to do. And then at the end of the day, we trust. And we leave it in God's hands, and we trust. We leave the rest to God. And sometimes we make the mistake of viewing emotional fitness and emotional or anxiety issues differently. In fact, I think we make one of two mistakes. Either on the one hand, we view them too lightly, and we say, oh, well, that person just needs to snap out of it. That person just needs to pull themselves together. And that is very often very, very wrong. But on the flip side of that coin, we also need to be careful that we're not figuratively hitting the 2 mile mark on the treadmill, throwing up our hands and saying, I just can't. And making the mistake of assuming that there's nothing more for us. That that's it. And I want to tell you this morning that God's desire is to see that point of saying, I just can't, becoming, I can. So let's not make the mistake of assuming that there's no emotional healing for us. That our journey ends here when God intends for it to end somewhere out there. Let's do all that is in our power to do. And yes, we need to leave the rest to the Lord, but let's do what is in our power to do and not assume that He has nothing more for us. So what is in our power to do? That's where we want to go with this subject this morning. And again, just scratching the surface of what is a very deep and a very complicated subject this morning. What strategies can we employ? What steps can we take to do our part in moving in a healthy direction? And again, there's no magic pill here. I can't offer you a magic pill. Just some generally good advice that we see in Scripture and things that can be applied to our life, regardless of where you find yourself on the spectrum of emotional health. And as I see it, when we're talking about the stresses and the things that can come against us to rob us of our emotional health, we can do one of three things with those stresses. And how we choose to respond to those stresses is going to significantly impact whether we can move on from that I just can't point and turn it into a I can, or whether we'll stagnate or even regress and become less healthy. And a lot of it depends on how we respond to those stresses when they come. So when we have stresses in our life, we can do one of three things with them. Number one, we can cave in. Number two, we can blow up. And number three, we can lay them down. Lay it down. I want to tell you what I mean by that. I want to just briefly touch on the negative responses to stresses that come against us. And then I want to spend a little bit more time talking about what I think is the way God would want us to respond. So first of all, the stresses that come into our lives might cause us to cave in emotionally. And this is the person who's caving in is the person who's discussed in Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. It is not smart." God knew from the very beginning that we as humans should not be isolated. We weren't designed to exist in a bubble. What did he say about Adam all the way back at the very beginning? He said, it's not good for man to be, what? Alone. It's not good for man to be alone. He designed us for connection. But sometimes we make the mistake of ignoring that design and withdrawing inside ourselves. The person who's on this road, the person who's on the road to implode, you might say, who's going to cave in, is internalizing these things. The stresses that come along, they're internalizing them. They're pushing them down. They're storing them up. And they have this attitude that says, well, I'm strong enough. I can handle this. I'm good on my own. I'll be okay. And it's like this person is going along through their life and they're picking up stress after stress as if they were heavy stones, and they're stuffing them into their backpack, and they're picking them up and they're stuffing them in, and they're holding them down, and they're picking them up and they're stuffing them in. And they're going on until eventually the weight causes them to collapse and they implode. They're independent. They're strong enough. They can do it on their own until one day they can't anymore. And they implode. They cave in. The second reaction we might have to stress in our lives is to blow up. The Bible talks a lot about anger, doesn't it? Proverbs 22:24 says, "Do not associate with a man given to anger. Do not go with a hot-tempered man." Why? Because when that person blows up, and they will blow up, it's going to impact you. You know, Saul, in the Old Testament, King Saul was a good example of this. If you remember King Saul, he was the first king of Israel. And after he became king, he would occasionally deal with these episodes where he was deeply troubled. And when he went through these times, it was literally physically dangerous to be in the same room with the man. In fact, David, who would become king after Saul, was on a couple different occasions nearly killed by Saul. not because of anything that David had done, but just because Saul was going through one of these episodes and lashed out and blew up and almost killed somebody in the room. David, specifically. Wrong place at the wrong time. Are you one who responds to emotional stress by blowing up? If we asked your friends or your coworkers or your family that question about you, what would they say? So obviously, either caving in or blowing up, these are negative responses to stress. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about what God would want us to do with our stresses. Because again, I think God would like to see us taking these points that we all reach, these points of saying, I just can't. And he wants us to put them in the rearview mirror and be able to look back and say, I can at those points. So there's such an abundance of scripture that talks about God, us, and stress, or fear, or anxiety, and emotional health. And we read those verses in Philippians chapter 4. I want to read a few more. So here's some others. John 14, 27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be, nor let it be fearful. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 118, 5 to 6 says, from my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we could go on and on and on. There are so many verses that we could read. And these verses that we have read, and many others that we could touch on, they have something in common. They have a theme that's underlying all of them. And that theme is discussed in Hebrews 12, verse 1. In part of that verse, it ties all this together when it says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Lay aside every encumbrance. This laying down, that's the third, and I think the best reaction to stresses in our lives. Lay it down. We read through these verses, and the things, the words that we're hearing, the themes that we're seeing are casting, calling, taking our burdens that are too much to bear and giving them to Jesus. There's this transfer, verse after verse after verse, there's this transfer of responsibility, of stress, of fear, of burdens from our shoulders and from our minds onto Jesus, and we're laying it down. And it sounds so simple. Sounds so easy. Sounds so simple. And as we read through these verses, chances are if you've dealt with emotional or anxiety issues and you're a Christian, you've read these verses before. And you've heard these verses before many times. So what's a practical application that you could take out of this idea of laying it down? That theme is definitely there. Lay it down. What can you take from this sermon today? Something that could help you to perhaps get on or to stay on that road of turning those I just can't moments into I can. So here's the thing. I want you to take this idea of laying it down. And I want you to think about it in a way, and maybe perhaps this is a new way. I want you to ask yourself, how can I get practical and down to earth in the laying down of my anxiety or my emotional distress or my fear? When I use that phrase, lay it down, what am I actually talking about? What is it that I can lay down? So I want to talk about two things. Just keep it very, very simple. Just scratch the surface of this subject by talking about two things that you can zero in on and that you can lay down. Have you laid down your expectations? Now hear me now, because I think this is really important for some of you. Have you laid down your expectations? Is the person that you expect yourself to be, your own expectations of yourself, is that person holding hostage the person you are or the person you could be, because the person you are and the person you could be will never be good enough, will never reach that lofty expectation that you have for yourself, that you've set for yourself. You know, we often, as Christians, talk about Romans 12, verse 3. And we talk about this idea that we as Christians shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And we think about that verse in terms of pride. Well, we shouldn't be prideful. And that's true. And that's a good application of that verse. But do you know that that verse also applies for people who are beating themselves up and they're putting themselves down because of this nebulous, this theoretical idea of themselves, this perfect image of themselves, and every time they see themselves falling short of their own unrealistic expectations, they feel defeated. And they can't move past that point of, I just can't. Because every time they reach that point, that perfect image of themselves is knocking them back down, saying, you didn't make it. You're a mess. You missed the mark. You're a failure. And that's what they feel like. They feel like failures because of their own expectations that they've set for themselves. Lay it down. Lay down those expectations. So you're not the person you expected you would be. Okay. Okay. You're not that person. All right, lay it down. That person's not doing you any good. They're not helping you. Lay it down. Lay down your expectations. Have you laid down your pride? Have you opened up about your emotional struggle to a friend, to a pastor, to a counselor? Have you been open and honest and vulnerable? You know, we know people have problems, right? We know that people struggle. But we don't want to be those people. We know that pastors and counselors have a very important job and that they help people and they serve people in their time of need. But we don't want to be those people who need to be helped. We're stronger than that. We're strong. We're mature. We're spiritual. And it's a smokescreen. It's a lie. And we're not doing ourselves any favors. Lay down your pride. You know, Jamie and I, to be perfectly frank, we felt like we went through hell together in the last year after the death of our son. And our emotional health was battered. And for a while, we thought we were okay. And we weren't. And I'm so thankful for Tom, for Naomi, for Joe, for friends and for family who came alongside of us and helped us through what was a very difficult time. And we were hurting. And we were not healthy. And we were stuck at that point of, I just can't. And believe me, we were there saying, I just can't. Until we were willing to put everything else aside and just seek help. Now, are we cured today? Everything's all great and we're all healthy now? No. But I can tell you for a fact, and I think other people could attest to this, that our point of I just can't is a whole lot further down the road than it was then. And we're fitter than we were then. And we're getting fitter. And when you're dealing with the reality of unhealthy emotions or anxiety or fear, that's not a time for pride. That's not helping you. There are people who can help you, but only if you're willing to be vulnerable and to seek that help. Bottom line, as we wrap up here this morning, the world is full of people who are an emotional wreck. And we all fit that bill from time to time, and many of us in this room would say that we're in that place right now. And I believe that God wants something different for us. I believe that God has something more for us. Just as with our physical fitness, I can't promise, in fact, I'm pretty sure that it's not going to happen overnight. But church, I believe I'm speaking for the heart of God when I say that God wants to take those points right now where you're saying, right now in your life, where you're saying, I just can't. And he wants to turn them into, I can. And God is going to take you, as you're faithful and as you pursue Him, God is going to take you, and you're going to look in your rearview mirror in the future. You're going to look back and say, I remember when, that moment, that time, when I was going through that in my life, and I reached that point of saying, I just can't. And you know what? I'm not there anymore. By God's grace, I can. And you'll get there. You'll get there. But lay down your expectations. It's okay for you to be going through what you're going through. It's okay. That person, that ideal of yourself that you're not quite hitting, they're not doing you any favors. Lay it down. Lay down your pride. Don't walk alone. There's no reason for you to be walking alone when you're dealing with emotional and anxiety issues. And one step at a time, church, I believe that God is going to take those I just can't moments and He's going to transform them into I can. Let's pray. Let Christian come forward now. Well, Lord, this is a difficult and a complex subject. And Lord, You know all the struggles that are represented in this room today and how we fight and we struggle for emotional fitness. And Lord, I just pray that Your hand would be on us, that You would help us to give up the unrealistic expectations that we have for ourselves and help us just to focus on You. Help us, Lord, to lay down our pride where we need to do that and to seek help where we can get it. Lord God, we are all in need of You. We are all in need of emotional healing. And Lord God, I just pray that You would raise up this church as a place where we would care for each other, where we would help each other, that together we would take these moments where every one of us has faced this time where we've said, I just can't. Together, Lord, help us to put those in the rearview mirror and to find ourselves down the road saying, you know what? Yeah, I still reach that point, but it's further down the road. I can. It's for Your glory, Lord. Amen.